Welcome back to the Amaya Podcast. I'm Aurora Nino, and this is part two of our conversation with Jen Thatcher on learning how to thrive in motherhood. In this episode, we discuss the teenage years, and I know that these years can be some of the most difficult times in a parent's life, but there are many moms like Jen who are not only surviving these years, but are thriving in them, and so are their kids. Jen not only has five children of her own, but she is a university educator and has also been asked to speak dozens of times at different conferences. Let's dive in and find out what Jen has to say. Okay, as you had mentioned that, you know, you were loving this teenager phase. Most people aren't in that same boat. And I would love to know how you got to this point, how you are thriving in what other moms would say is the hardest, some of the hardest years of parenting.
Okay. Yeah. Those years are hard. There are difficult things about having teenage children. One of them is you're letting go of the control. You know, you don't want to be, you want to help them become good adults.
And independent.
Independent. Yeah. They make the right choices. They have an internal compass to choose the right thing, not because you made them. Mm. And so even when they're young, you know, we talked about giving them their agency. And you really have to let up even more the older they get, where you just say, you know what, I'm going to let you choose. But you help them see where their consequences lead. You help them think about, okay, you can choose this or you can choose this. What will be the result of this? What's the result of this? So you help
them. Let's go down both paths and see. And what would the consequence be if you did this? And what would that lead to? And what would that,
But if you're taking away their agency, if you're forcing them to do things, they will rebel. They will push back. So you really have to lay off. And that's why it's so important that you lay the groundwork before when you teach them, you give them their agency. You don't all of a sudden wake up one day and say, okay, now I have to stop forcing them. I have to stop making them. I have to let them choose.
You know, it's start, that little by little. You're giving little them that little autonomy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Another thing is they just don't need you like they need you as young kids. And I think a lot of moms just feel this like, oh, you know, like the moms like miss them needing them as much. You know, they get their license. They don't need you to drive them anymore.
Right.
And so it part of it's learning to let go. Just little by little, you know, still keep in touch, but letting them have that autonomy. Mm. Another thing with teens is it's good to have humor. It's good to make it fun. They need the fun because there's also the work in life, right? There's the doing the dishes and cleaning the room and doing the chores Saturday morning. So you have all that, but let them turn on the music and make it fun. Mm. And when they're having fun, don't kill the mood by doing all that.
Learned by personal experience, you know?
Like try not to kill, like let them have fun. Mm. Try not to kill the mood, but just like jump into the fun with them. And just adore them in that fun. Like, look, I have teenagers. They're so cute. They're so fun. Just adore them. And they'll sense that you adore them.
Instead of, you know, looking down and being like, why did they do it that way? Or why did this? Or why are they being so silly? Or da 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 da. It's like, just let them be. Let them act. Let them
and
be
just
that way.
Adore, like, stand back and just laugh at how funny they're being. Because they'll grow out of that stage, too. Yeah. That silly little voice they're doing. Or that whatever it is that they're doing. That they're just... Yes. It's a stage too,
Just enjoying it.
Yeah. You also want to make the house, if you can, make the house a place where they'll want to come with friends. Mm. So if they're coming over with their friends, if you can make some food or get out of the way if you need to, or make some fun games, if you can just create this atmosphere where they'll want to come, where it's loving, where you're kind of there, but you can get out of the way if you're in the way, but just make it a fun place where they'll want to gather for their friends.
And that they're in that environment, a good environment. You can know,
where you know they're safe. You know what's going on. It's you always. I think every parent wants the teens to come to their house. Yes. You know when they come, and I think they bounce around to different houses. But just trying to create that place where they will want to come,
and that their friends feel welcome.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's important.
I feel like my mom would do that so well when I was growing up. She obviously cared about me, but she genuinely cared about people that I brought into the home, total strangers that she'd never met before. And if they were my friends, they're my mom's friend. Like she would just love them and adore them. And people loved coming to our house because it was like, oh, I have a second mom. Like, that's Aurora's mom. And she's my second mom, you know? And it's just because they felt that just genuine love, no matter who they were, they were loved in our home.
And when your friends would say that about your mom, it probably made you appreciate your mom better too, right? You're like, oh, I do have a good mom.
It's great.
It's true. I also think just keeping that mutual respect and that relationship, that loving relationship, and getting time with them when they want it. And that might be late at night.
Oh, I've heard that. Is that's is when that they just want to talk. The truth where it's like you're going to bed and it's
teenage
like,
girls. Let's and, talk, and talk, teenage talk. Girls, you know, when they want to talk, you've got to be willing to listen. And you've got to be willing to stay up and listen and just let them talk. And that connection is so important. And sadly, I do think there are some teenagers who get this idea, oh, I hate my parents, or my parents are so, and that is just, that is just so sad. And I think if you can keep a loving relationship where your kids say, I love my parents, you know, and where they even can recognize that's so sad that other teenagers are saying something like that because they feel this love towards you and respect for you and you respect them.
And that seems like what you've been able to do has taken years, right? Years of really building that relationship, building that foundation of just life experiences to where you're at a point probably where you do trust your kids. Where it's like, you know what? I'm going to leave that decision up to you and I trust that you'll do the right thing.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we actually have less rules than a lot of the other parents do. You know, often our kids are the ones brought home last because so-and-so had to be home or they'll be in big trouble if they're, and we're like, you know what? It's okay. We can be the one that's 10 minutes later. It's all, we trust you. You know, there are times when we're like, come home. I want to go to sleep. Yeah, you need to come home now. But I don't think our kids feel like we have tons of rules. They don't feel weighed down by all our rules. They know that we trust them. Sometimes we don't trust a situation. You know, we'll let them know if we don't feel good about a situation. It's, we trust you. We trust you, but we don't know if we trust. We don't know if that's still a good idea to be driving home that late at night or whatever it is. But they know that we trust them. They know, and we treat them like they're good. And they want to be good. And my parents did that. They treated me, they treated me like I was better than I was. And it made me want to be better. And I think if you can treat your children like they're good, then they'll want to live up to that, like we talked about before. And same with your teenagers.
I feel like that's how my mom was. It was at a point and it made me so mad when she would say this, but it was the best thing for me. And I'd, I'd ask her like, oh, mom, can I stay later at whatever event or party or whatever? And I can't even remember what age I was. It was like all growing up, but she would say something over and over again. And she would say, I know that you will make the best decision. And it was just this like mantle from her onto me. And it was like, you are responsible. You're responsible. You're responsible for what happens. You're responsible, you know, for your decision and that. And then, but she had such faith in me that I would make a good decision that I wanted to. It wasn't like my mom's forcing me to do this. It was like, I want to do this because I know my mom has that confidence and trust in me, you know?
That's good. And there will be times when they don't make the right choice. And I do think you have to have those hard conversations with them. You do need to correct them. And you do need to help them see that they need to change. And it's important to teach in those moments to not have high conflict, but to have love, to talk to them, to help them see you're on their same side, but to explain to them why you see this is really damaging or this isn't good, what you're doing. And just invite them to change. And make sure to not be so overbearing that they just feel like you're making them do something. But to step back, do the teaching and step back and let them make the choices. Let them know that you love them, but help them see your vision for them. And it's okay to let them have the, and in fact, we have to have them have the consequences of their poor decisions. I think sometimes parents try to
run in and save.
We want to protect them from those consequences. And it's important for them to have those consequences. So anytime that you catch yourself kind of taking away the consequence, let them feel it. Let them understand, oh, this is the consequence for what you did. And that wasn't right. So to correct them.
And what I'm seeing in this is almost, what I see that you're doing well is balancing almost two worlds. One is the very, overly strict and bearing down parent. And then the opposite side of that is what I see, a lot of parents go to is I'm just going to be their best friend. That's what I want to do. What I want to do is just be my kid's best friend. And that sounds great, but that's not how you actually raise successful children. And I'm sure, you know, when we're learning about all these four types of parenting, it is really centering that. It's not coming down as that authoritarian parent, and it's not a permissive parent.
Right.
You have to come in between. But I feel like right now, the pendulum has swung from decades ago of, you know, the very harsh, strict parenting to now it's like anything goes.
Yeah.
As long as my kids know that I love them, then it's okay. And it's like, that's actually not serving your kid for success long term.
Right. And I think parents step back and think they shouldn't be teaching them. And so they're not passing on their values. Their children are making very different decisions than their values. And they're kind of standing back going, oh, it's okay. I just have to let them choose.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yes, you do need to let them choose, but you need to continue to teach and help them know why that's important.
Mm.
And so we do see that. We see that a lot of youth that don't have the values that their parents have.
Mm.
And I do think that parents are afraid. It takes a lot of courage to correct. It takes a lot of courage to continue teaching, even when they're teenagers. And I think when they are adult children, that's when you want to be best friends.
Yeah.
You're still going to be their mom, no matter what. Right. You're still their mom forever.
Right. And once they're 18, it's like you are now fully an adult, you know, it's like and you take on that more of, I've heard like a coaching instead of, you know, it's not that parenting figure, you know, as much as, that friend, that friend.
And where you were talking about, like, you know, we see our kids and sometimes we think we're in trouble, you know, like what about the teenage years if they're doing this now?
Yes. Yes.
And can I tell you something that my mother-in-law said? She said, don't parent in fear. Parent in faith. Because I remember seeing some behavior in a young girl, like a 3-year-old daughter, and thinking, oh, I am in for it. What about when she's a teenager? And I can tell you, here we are 15 years later, and she is an awesome teenager, and she doesn't treat me like that. So instead of being afraid, parenting in faith and parenting, being assertive and saying, okay, you know what? That feeling that you're having, that worry of
like, oh,
it's actually, this is a good warning. It is that, you know what? If this pattern keeps up, we are in trouble.
Yeah.
So we're not going to keep this pattern up. We're going to teach this child. We're going to help this child learn respect, obedience, kindness, goodness. We're going to teach them that now, whether they're 6 or whether they're 12, whatever, wherever they're at, it's okay. You might think, oh, it's too late. It's not too late.
It's not too late.
Yeah, you teach
them. I think that's good that parents can hear that, because I know there's a lot of parents that are like, well, these teenage years are the hardest things I've ever done. And now what? Have I just screwed it up too much that there's no hope? And it's like, there is hope.
Oh, yeah. Even if you have teenagers who are super rebellious and they're making bad choices and you're going, how can I be happy as a mom?
Yeah.
Because my teenage child is now really ruining my life, you know, ruining my joy. I think we do have to separate ourselves from our children's choices, because it's great when they're making good choices. You can have so much joy in their joy when things are going well. But when they're not going well, you really have to be able to stand back and say, I can be happy even though I'm sad for you. And it does bring me sorrow to see your choices and see what you're doing. But
as parents, as moms, we just like,
we feel they feel.
Yes.
And part, I don't know if you can stop that.
Yes.
Feel
but,
that.
But to be able to differentiate their choices and their consequences and your choices and your consequences, you know, and to be able to separate that, I think can provide a lot of healing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if your child is making poor choices and they're being unkind to you and they're not being respectful, and let's just say like you have a really difficult teenager, I would go back to those basic things that we talked about at the beginning. Ask yourself, how can you put more love into this relationship?
Mm.
How can you love them, serve them, treat them, change yourself, change the way you talk to them?
Mm.
Because you probably have patterns of
interaction
that just spiral down to an argument and then you leave and you're both married.
And a power struggle, and then it blows up and you never win in a power struggle.
Yeah. So you've got to decide, okay, how am I going to change? And so when they start it, when they say that thing that normally, and then it gets you to say, and then you spiral down, instead you're just going to say, I just love you.
Mm.
I'm not going to argue with you today. I just love you so much. So just stop the pattern, give them a hug, and they'll probably be like, what? You know,
what's going on?
And you could do this. My students actually do this experiment every semester. They're doing it this week, right now. They're doing this experiment where they're looking at one relationship and they are changing themselves to heal that relationship and to make that relationship better. Wow. And so, and this is the reason why it's an experiment is because it always affects the other person. Our families were, it's a system, right? Yes. And yes. So you can't change other people. You can't make them be a certain way, but you can change you. Mm. And so if you can change yourself and be more loving and kind and just pouring more positive, serving them, loving them in their love language, if there's something that really means a lot to them, doing that for them, if you can pour more positive into that relationship first, I would do that first before the teaching and the higher expectations. I would just work on that. And then notice, you'll start to notice them being more loving. It'll come back in just in a week's time, you'll start to see changes. And if you can do that first, and then if you can say, okay, what one or two things do we need to teach them in love? And then what are the expectations that we need to help them know? And then are we honoring their agency or have we been too forceful?
Right. And I love how you're still putting those standards in the home. You know, it's not, you're not, from what I understand, you're not saying take out any standards that there are in the home and just let them do whatever they want. Like you're not saying that.
Yeah.
You're just saying when it gets to that power struggle, don't engage if there is that emotional power struggle.
Right. The expectations are still there and you've taught it well and then you just love them. No matter what. And it's good for them to see that you love them even when they don't choose what you want them to choose because you're really not controlling them and you're not going to withdraw love as a means of control.
And I think that, a lot of parents don't realize that we fall into that pattern, you know, where it's like, oh, your kid isn't doing what you want. And so you do retract love, right? Because they're not behaving in the way that you want. And that shows kids some very negative behavior patterns where then they could start thinking, I have to earn someone's love to get it instead of I am inherently loved as a human being.
Yeah. That's really good. And I think it's just really important to remember that you will make mistakes. I mean, here I told you we love the teenage years. We're a happy family. We make mistakes every single day. I make mistakes every single day as a mom. So be kind to yourself. You're going to make those mistakes. And then you go back, okay, you know what? I could have done better. And you just repair. And that's the beautiful thing. If you have a safe home where you feel like we can all make mistakes and then we can fix it after. Just be kind to yourself, be kind to them because you'll just make a ton of mistakes and they can still work. They can still turn out.
But that's the beauty is that you're not defining yourself in one day, right? And or you're seeing, you don't have that myopic view of the moment or the situation or the day. You're seeing the whole span of that child's, you know, existence and life and going, you know what? This is beautiful.
Yeah. And they can turn out to be great people even with all of your mistakes as a mom, with all of them. It's amazing that can still work out. And even if, and just to remember, it's not the end of their story. If they're at a really bad place, really making poor decisions, and it is just bad, just remember, this is not the end of their story. You just keep loving them. You be there for them so they can come back to you someday. And that they'll know that that love was never withdrawn. And you believe in them, that they can get out of this, that they can use their agencies, their choices to come out of it. And they'll remember what you taught them. Yes. And I think sometimes parents of adult children want to continue to teach and teach. And that's, I think it's in us to want to keep teaching. And yet they know, they already know. So just remember the loving, just remember honoring their agency.
And letting them flourish. Letting them
have their space.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, I hope moms out there can really take each one of these sections that you've talked about and really dive into them and how it applies to them. Because everything that you've talked about tonight can be life-changing in the world of motherhood if we really apply it to ourselves. But before we go tonight, something that I would love to ask you is, what encouragement do you have for moms that are listening right now?
I would just say to know that you're doing a great job and to recognize the little things that you're doing and realizing that the little things add up to be big things. They really do. Don't hold yourself to the big, huge things like the amazing birthday party that your neighbor threw. You know, just look at the little things that you're doing and just know that day after day, week after week, year after year, the little things add up to be big things and they have the big results. They come from the little things. And so applaud yourself in those little things that you're doing. See the good that you're doing. And just know that you're doing enough.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This has been such an inspiring night, and I'm so grateful that you were able to come and everything that you learned in your career and in your experience and being able to bring that and share that with moms is why we're here. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. Yeah.